Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
And you told me not to drive, but I made it home alive. So you said that only proves that I'm insane. You may be right, I may be crazy. Oh, but it just
makes... It's true that we find drag shows objectionable, offensive, and lewd, but it's worse than that. It's blasphemous. You cannot hurt a Christian more than what you are doing.
This is Ellen Groh speaking at the open forum, Lee Ward Boyd public forum at the city council meeting last Thursday. As I said, they went a half hour before the meeting, they did their meeting, and then they did an hour and a half after the meeting, mostly about this, not entirely about this, question of the Drag Queen Christmas show at the Sanger Theater. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised. We're talking about this on Friday with David Baer and Josh Newby, and I said, are you guys surprised that this has continued to be such a thing? And they're like, no, it's Pensacola. And I thought, well, okay. I guess I live in a world in my head where I'm naive and optimistic. And I figure that if, you know, there's a controversy and I go on the air and explain why the controversy is misguided and counterproductive and you're trying to do what's basically an unconstitutional act in censoring somebody else's expression, I feel like, okay, we're done here. You know, move on. I feel like we've done what needs to be done. It's weird, though. People aren't always persuaded right away. Do you notice that, John, in life? People aren't always persuaded right away.
Oh, yes, I've noticed that.
Yeah, okay. So sometimes they even get more vehement in their viewpoint. Mm-hmm. I will say this one thing is kind of an interesting outcome of all this. I've been having good conversations off and on with Pastor Johnson, who is one of the main critics. I don't know if it's fair to call him the key leader of the opposition here, but he's one of, you know, the key organizers here and at his church. And, you know, he and I have had really good conversations throughout. He's very genial. I like him. He's a friend, you know. Friends can disagree. I mean, even if I think they're very, very misguided, friends can disagree. That's fine. How many times have I told you I have loads of friends who I disagree with all the time about stuff? It doesn't bother me. I mean, it bothers me. I want everybody to be right, but I want me to be right too, and sometimes I'm wrong. I mean, you know, that's just understanding the nature of the world. Anyway, Ellen Groh continues. I thought it was interesting that people kind of laughed at her for saying it was blasphemous, but it's actually a good instructive note because the question is, to whom are you speaking? You know, you use words like abomination and blasphemy and lewdness and obscenity and lasciviousness and all that. And, I mean, you're no longer talking to the world around you. You're talking to your fellow Christians. And that's fine. They need to be addressed too. But always think of who's your audience. And recognizing the difference between what's emotionally poignant for me and what is going to be meaningful to other people to hear me say it. And when you talk about a thing being so hurtful to Christians because it's blasphemy, okay, but what's that supposed to mean to a secular government city council that operates under the Constitution and the First Amendment? Many of whom are Christians, perhaps all of whom are Christians, but may not agree with you or your vision of the world or your, you know, moral standards or your notion of the Constitution. And so just, you know, there's a lot of times in life that we have an opportunity to make ourselves feel good about how we say something. And, I mean, to some degree that's okay, but a lot of times, you know, communication, the goal is to reach, persuade, build relationship, and engage with other people. And because we get so caught up in our own self-righteousness, by the way, this is not just Christians, this is everybody, left, right, center, you know, whatever. We get caught up in our own self-righteousness and the truth of our ideas, and then we say the things we believe in so vehemently in such counterproductive or unhelpful ways. Ellen Groh, back to her.
You want?
By the way, I have covered this yesterday at 5 a.m., that podcast, and 6 and 7 a.m. this morning, so kind of covering a lot of the different content of these speeches and talking through these issues.
You won't see violence from us if this does take place. We don't burn buildings. We don't break windows. We don't, you know, resort to other types of violence.
Which is great and true. They all left very peacefully the last time around. I know some people will be like, is that a veiled threat? No, it's not. It's just meant to draw contrast, right, in how Christians would respond to these things.
We write letters. We come to City Hall. We make phone calls. We sign petitions. But one other thing that we can do is that we can boycott the Sanger Theater.
I will tell you, I have never, somebody even texted me the same thing, I have never seen such an effective ad campaign for one single little show at the Sanger Theater as this. The at least tens of thousands of dollars of free PR this show has gotten. And perhaps more, perhaps hundreds of thousands, perhaps verging on a million when you start to include some of the web articles and online, and we're posting our videos about the things that we're saying. The amount of attention brought to this show, I mean, I don't know if it's sold out. I haven't gone to try to buy tickets out of curiosity, but it wouldn't surprise me if it sells out. You mean you couldn't possibly drive people to this thing any more effectively than this, which is also kind of the irony of the issue. But she says, you know, look, we could boycott the Sanger.
I know this is probably a financial decision that you're making, but I would venture to guess that it would hurt you more financially to alienate the entire Christian population of Pensacola.
Not the entire Christian population. Your slice of morally offended conservative Christians, a slice in which I am not, and a slice in which many other non-conservative Christians are not. So again, be careful about these universalist claims.
Now, sadly, if we boycott the Sanger Theater, and I call everyone here today to do that, other businesses will suffer because we won't be going to dinner before the theater, or we won't be going shopping before the theater. We won't be parking in Pensacola.
I have no idea if this particular woman goes to the Sanger very often or not. I can certainly imagine it being true that a lot of the people who are protesting don't go to the Sanger anyway for any reason. Some of them perhaps do. You have talked many times about boycotts. Actually, we'll come back to that in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
The only delays I'm seeing right now are on 98 westbound as you approach Gulf Breeze. Expect about a 10 to 11 minute delay in that area. Other than that, everything else is looking good. I-10, I-110, flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
So you've heard me many times say I think boycotts are mistakes. This is actually one case where at least a boycott is consistent. Because a boycott is a form of intolerance, right? It's a form of economic leverage. It's a kind of bullying. It's a kind of use of force, but legal use of force. You choose not to spend your money there. You're not breaking things or starting a riot or burning things, or, you know, which is, I mean, she's correct about that. But it is a form of leverage or a form of bullying, if you prefer the negative characterization, because they're certainly bullying the show. Now, maybe it's appropriate bullying. Maybe it's justified bullying. You know, they're being intolerant, but again, maybe it's appropriate intolerance, maybe it's justified intolerance. But if you're asking the city council or the city administration to stop the show, well, you're actively engaging in government censorship. Again, that might be okay. There's times when it's justified. Rare times. And in case you missed some of the earlier commentary, the manager of the Sanger literally said, we spoke to the organizers about the law, and if they break it, we'll stop the show and we'll arrest people. So, you know, that's already been well clarified. But look, if you're going to engage in active government coercion, censorship, limitation, prohibition, that's as much as intolerance goes, right? Generally, you have liking a thing, you cannot tolerate a thing you like, you can only celebrate a thing you like. You have a thing you dislike, and then you allow it or you protect it. That's my view. Or you dislike a thing so much that you actively set out to stop it, either through persuasion, which is tolerance, by the way. Just persuasion, like persuading the artists not to do the show, is tolerance. Sometimes people think that if you criticize a thing, it's intolerance. No, no, no. Criticism is tolerance. If all you're doing is speech, if all you're doing is trying to persuade somebody, that's the epitome of tolerance, right? That's all you're doing is speaking. Now, when you start acting, you start boycotting, you start even picketing, depends on how it's done. Okay, but if you're asking the government to get involved, that's active intolerance. Again, might be okay, might be justified. So just the different reactions, and I think my suspicion is that many, many otherwise conservative, morally conservative Christians, I think are split on this. I think some are with the protesters who are against the thing and want it stopped. I think a lot of them kind of wish it had never happened in the first place. That's the camp I'm in, okay? But the other part of the conservative Christians is the ones who believe in the First Amendment, believe in America, believe in tolerance, especially about speech, okay, or art. And we are not with them. And then you have a bunch of other people who are just generally speaking not into this, but don't really oppose it either. But they do think you ought to be protecting things. And then there's people who actually celebrate it. And it is my guess, my best guess is that I would say 20 to 30% of the area, if you've polled people in Escambia County, I bet 20 to 30% would say shut it down. I bet 10% think it's good, and then the remainder, your 50 to 60%, are kind of the some variation of allow it for whatever reason would be my best guess. But I may be wrong. I don't have a poll I can look at. And of course, a lot of the reaction to the thing is going to depend on what the thing itself actually is, which at this point it hasn't been performed yet, so we're not really sure. Last comments on this for the day anyway, 437-1620. What I like about this conversation is we're hearing from more people, and more voices is better, right, in a democracy. Ellen Ridgway was, I thought, particularly interesting because she recognized I'm here in the face of people who vehemently disagree with me. I want you to listen to how this went.
I recognize that I am probably fairly unpopular in this room because I am a Christian. And I'm also a lesbian and I'm in a marriage to a woman. And I have found God in my marriage. And I feel that it is a gift from God. We read in the Bible that there is neither slave nor free, Gentile nor Jew, man nor woman in Jesus Christ.
Whether you agree or disagree with her perspective, it's an incredibly bad look for you to try to shout her down or mutter her down in a public forum like this. Everybody else has listened to you pound away at your view. Shut your mouth and let somebody else talk. And if you can't, leave the room. I was particularly displeased by the fact that not just one loudest, but several other people apparently were, did not want to hear what she had to say. You've got to listen. You've got to listen.
I also know that this is not the first drag show that has been at the Sanger. The Sanger has been doing these for years because guess what? A lot of people want to go to them because they're fun. And a lot of times they are not sexually explicit. I've been to drag shows where they perform to gospel and praise God.
And I can imagine that there's a wide variety of performance styles for drag shows. And some at the Sanger might be one flavor, some at the Sanger might be a very different flavor.
It comes off as deeply unserious, frankly, when the concerns come up all of a sudden at an opportune political moment where we can hijack a meeting and waste everyone's time for weeks and weeks.
And we have an area that has, though people may hate it, they have to admit,
Pensacola has been a safe haven for LGBTQ people for decades. We've been known as the Queer Riviera for decades. I'm very sorry if you moved here expecting it not to be that, but this is who we are. Thank you.
Queer Riviera is actually kind of hard to say because of all the vowel sounds that go in there, but I think she's right. I think we live in a community that is incredibly mixed. It's very cosmopolitan. It's very conservative and it's very liberal. It's, very military and generally military. But, it's people from all over. People from the north, people from the west, people from the south. It's a very interesting place. And these kinds of issues come up when you have people of such diverse views, morals, religious views, artistic preferences and styles. And though I disagree with the ones who are trying to shut this down, I think having the conversation is important. And it reveals a lot. And you learn a lot. And if you bother to listen, you learn a lot in the process. That's good. Democracy is a little ugly, a little messy, a little loud, a little offensive. Good. Like art. Living with people who disagree with you, that's kind of the way this works. 824 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. One of our newer advertisers on the show is New South Windows. I had a chance to go by the showroom yesterday and talk with the manager. And very, very interesting. I probably learned more about windows in an hour than I ever knew before. But for example, the New South Windows, all made in America, okay? New South Windows are built specifically for the coastal environment. And if you know, we live in a place where we have wind, we have storms, we have, you know, the salt air and the humidity and the blaring sunlight are all bad things for anything that deteriorates everything it comes in contact with. Well, in this case, you know, you've got thicker, stronger windows, you know, with a density pressure rating that's very high. They're specifically designed to hold up to sun, humidity, salt air, and all that. They have a lifetime warranty. And New South will kind of take care of everything. You call them, they come out to your house, and they'll do a demonstration, they'll talk with you and, you know, figure out what's your need. And, you know, your need might be to break one, you know, one window's been broken, you need to fix it. Your need might be you want to save some money, a massive amount of money, 20 to 40% on your heating and air conditioning bills, which, by the way, can wind up prolonging the life of your air conditioner. Think about it. If the heater and the air conditioner aren't working so hard to fight the elements because the windows are keeping things in and out, you follow how that might work? And these windows are very good at sound dampening. They're very good at protecting against the sun. They actually have it's multiple layers in the window. It's kind of fascinating. The most secure portion of the window is the back layer, which is a laminate. It's a clear glass, and then it's got another clear glass. And in between the two panes of the clear glass, it's got this polybutyrol lining. But it's like your windshield in your car. If something hits it, it doesn't break. It spiders, which is designed to protect it against, you know, debris that might be rolling around in the storm. So anyway, storm resilient. Environment resilient, very good value, American-made windows, newsouthwindow.com. You can check them out or stop by the showroom in the Davis Highway location in the Books a Million or what's the other? What's the crafts? The Hobby Lobby shopping mall. It's right there in the corner there. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. We're rolling accident-free again. Good news on that. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm not seeing any more delays on 29. 90 or 98. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community.
This week, we'll talk all things Beach-a-ween for Friday, plus the Pensacola Interstate Fair and some good news from the Condé Nast Traveler's Guide.
Thursday at 10, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
Daniel will not stop crying. I changed him, fed him, walked him around, and he's still crying. Now I'm panicking. What should I do?
It's okay. We're glad you called. We learned during the Period of Purple Crying program that babies tend to cry a lot in the first few months of life.
If nothing is working and you need a break, put the baby in a safe place and take a few minutes to walk away and calm down.
During the period of purple crying, it is crucial to stay calm and never shake a baby. To learn more, visit PreventChildAbuseFL.org.
This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the State of Florida, Department of Health, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
ADX Communications, the family-owned broadcaster behind Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola, and Pensacola's Playlist, is looking for our next great electronics technician. You'll handle the installation, maintenance, and repair of studio and transmitter gear, network systems, and more, keeping our award-winning radio stations sounding their very best. We offer competitive pay, medical, dental, and vision coverage, a 401k with company match, plus paid vacation and holidays. If you have the skills, the drive, and the passion for serving our community, apply now at catcountry987.com. That's catcountry987.com. ADX Communications, serving our communities and looking for you. If you love electronics, reach out today. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Ruby Roundhouse, killer of men. Welcome to Jumanji.
Can't afford the ride.
Every day in my head, I'm reliving the 80s. 829 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew
McKay. Know.
Oh, no, that's 100% true.
No, it's
David Wayne's in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
Well, the government shutdown could end up being one of the longest in history. That's according to House Speaker Mike Johnson. Senate lawmakers will be back at the Capitol today to vote again on potentially ending the impasse. A vote is planned, but so far not a lot of sign of progress there. President Trump hailing the signing of the ceasefire agreement between Israel and Hamas, calling the achievement very important. During his trip home from the Middle East last night, Trump said the rebuilding of Gaza now has to be addressed. And the union representing musicians on Broadway has authorized a strike. They've been trying to negotiate a new contract, and sticking points appear to be over wages and health care benefits.
I expect outstanding street chants and some song, because if that's who they are, then they should sing it, you know?
A little song, little dance.
That's right, absolutely. Yeah. By the way, military is supposed to get paid. Coast Guard also, even though they're under DHS, looks like they're going to get paid as well. Obviously, that's a big deal for us here in Escambia and Santa Rosa County, as so much of our economy depends on military pay.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. President Trump back at the White House as the world celebrates the dawn of peace in the Middle East. Phase two, with stress around the edges. Hamas failed to deliver the bodies of 24 deceased hostages as promised.
Obviously, Hamas is playing games and is not doing it in good faith.
Rotem Cooper's father was 84 when he was taken. And peace leaves a vacuum with reports that the weakened Hamas has executed over 30 people in Gaza accused of treason with Israel or being rival gang members. Amid a new surge of UN aid going to Gaza civilians, 600 trucks a day. House Speaker Mike Johnson says we're barreling toward one of the longest government shutdowns in history, day 14. Another Senate vote this afternoon. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy posting where our air traffic controllers working without pay to keep our airspace safe. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 831 at News Radio, 92.3. Right now we've got 63 degrees with sunny skies here in Pensacola. A former daycare owner that was facing a money laundering charge says the investigation into her business took a big toll on her.
They destroyed my home. They came, they sent a force to my home, SWAT team, at the door with guns and everything.
And that is Rasha Hill. She talked to Channel 3. The felony charge against her was recently dropped by the state attorney's office. Hill says that while the charges are dropped, the investigation did damage her reputation. She closed her businesses. FDLE accused Hill of laundering drug money through the daycares. While the charges are closed, FDLE says it is still an active investigation. The Pensacola Interstate Fair returns Thursday. It's expected to attract hundreds of thousands of visitors. While it's running for 2 weeks, there are some new safety measures to think about this year. Firearms will not be allowed, and that includes both open or concealed carry. You'll also have to go through a metal detector to get in, and there will be six of the Sheriff's Office mobile camera towers to give deputies a clear view of everything happening. It'll be monitored from the real-time crime center. Any bags that are taken also need to be clear. The Sheriff's Office says they will have a lot of deputies on hand, at least 60 at any given time. A Pensacola woman's been sentenced to life in prison for her role in the murder of 26-year-old Jesse Geohagen back in October of 2022. 25-year-old Alyssa Marie Blackburn. She was convicted of principal to second-degree murder in the case. Prosecutors say she allowed her boyfriend, Jacob Colville, to enter their home and fatally shoot him. Colville is also serving a life sentence, while a third accomplice, Lawrence Bonner, received a 5-year sentence after pleading no contest. Evidence revealed a complicated relationship dynamic. Blackburn knew both men and warned a friend of the impending murder minutes before it happened. Well, one driver and two pedestrians are hurt after a car drove through the Blossman Gas building in West Pensacola yesterday. FHP says the crash happened because the 39-year-old driver was distracted on his phone. The truck went over a curb, blew a tire, and then through a parking lot, eventually crashed through the wall of the Blossman building on Michigan Avenue. Officials do say that there were no hazmat issues reported due to that, but EMS took a total of three people to area hospitals. Well, the next few days might be crucial to keeping peace in the Middle East. That, according to USF Global and National Security Institute research fellow Arman Mahmoudin. And he said releasing hostages, well, that was a good sign, but he says it's still not a done deal and may even be too soon to celebrate. Dr. Mahmoudin tells Tampa Bay 28 that if both sides fulfill their promises by the end of the week, then you've got a solid foundation for a broader de-escalation. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110, Highway 2990. They are all flowing smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to have a beautiful day today with mostly sunny skies, high near 85 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 67. For Wednesday, nice sunny weather with a high near 84. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 67. Going into Thursday, nice sunny weather with a high near 83. And by Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, we've got sunshine. It is 64 degrees here in Pensacola. Our next news in 30 minutes. Taking a look at our markets at the opening bell, the Dow is down just under 1% at 45,633 this morning. S&P is down 1.18% at 65,77. NASDAQ down 1.73% this morning at 22,302. 10-year bond rate is down just a bit, 4.042%. Gold prices are down 960 this morning at 41.2340. Silver is down 113 at 49.29. And looking at crypto, Bitcoin down about 4.6% at 110.409. The rest of the crypto market appears to be following suit. Ethereum's down 7.6%. Solana, Dogecoin, and XRP all down a bit as well this morning. Taking a look at our financial headlines for today. J.P. Morgan Chase and Wells Fargo helping to kick off earnings reporting season. Both banks seeing earnings and revenue up more than Wall Street forecasted. Same goes for Citigroup. They saw a rise in third quarter profits. All of its divisions, they say, brought in record revenue. Additionally, Goldman Sachs reporting 20% revenue jump in the third quarter. Staff cuts are coming to a NASA center that does a lot of its cutting-edge research.
Roughly 10% of the workforce at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California, is being laid off. The cuts are described as a realignment of the workforce and not related to the government shutdown. The reductions will impact about 550 workers in tech, business, and support sectors. JPL manages Earth climate science and builds and operates robotic missions to Mars and other planets. I'm Rory O'Neill.
Thank you very much, Rory. Jerome Powell's speech in Philadelphia today drawing heightened attention from investors. That's because the Federal Reserve Chair's address at a business forum comes as a key economic report is being delayed due to the ongoing government shutdown. Speaking of that, Senate lawmakers back at the Capitol today, they'll make one more attempt to end the government shutdown, which now enters week three. 8:38, your next news at 9 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
The 90th annual Pensacola Interstate Fair starts this Thursday for 11 big days with Dollar Day, $1 admission and rides. Free shows by Rodney Atkins, Clay Walker, Sawyer Brown, George Burge, Petra, Tyler Farr, Al Joslin, a tribute to Elvis, and White Tie Rock Ensemble. Over 50 great rides, Midnight Madness, the Sea Lion Splash Show, Livestock Auction, and Sensory Friendly Saturday. Check out the daily specials and get half-price admission tickets and $5 off ride wristbands in advance only. PensacolaFair.com.
Fall into kindness.
Waterfront Thrift is calling on you to donate your gently loved clothes, furniture, home decor, and household items. When you give, you're not just decluttering. Your donations help provide hope and critical support for homeless men and women at Waterfront Mission. Drop off your items at any Waterfront Thrift store Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. or schedule a free donation pickup online. Learn more at waterfrontthrift.org. Together, we can make this season a little brighter for those in need.
Join Kenny Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for car care this morning at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss car care today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Want to score tickets to see Florida State games in Tallahassee? Just download our News Radio Pensacola app.
Then tap the app for your chance to win tickets to FSU home games
Monday through Friday from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. Each day you enter brings you one step closer to being in the stands. The winner will be announced live at 5:15 p.m. on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Download, then tap that app. The News Radio Pensacola app. And get ready to be in the stands for game day with News Radio 92.3.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
Where do you park at the mall? Where do you park at the mall? That's the question for the day. 437-1620. Meg, you look like I just poked a stick in your ear. I don't know what to make of that look. You just kind of.
It was the funniest thing. I hadn't thought. I mean, it was just like the record scratch where you go, yeah. What? Wait, what?
she's rebooting. It's, yeah. You know, I don't know what's happening over there, but
well, I'm just so prepared for these complex questions every morning. Now I have to sort of meditate, brace myself, come in, breathe a few times, and then wait for Andrew's
to
topic.
Throw whatever wrinkle in the world he's going to throw today.
And this,
so,
because I've already got my coffee cups I'm worried about, I've got my closet, I've got the sink. You know, all these things.
So when you go to the mall,
I park near Belk's.
Park near Belk's. Why?
Because the women on the side that I park is the entrance where the women's clothing is.
Okay.
So I park nearest where I'm
going to
be shopping.
If you're going to the mall, are you always going to Belk?
Pretty much. Okay. Thank you, Belk. I am available for endorsements.
There you go. Pep Talk airs for 2 hours every single weekday, from Monday through Friday.
No, I mean, it's a creature of habit.
Yeah.
I mean, because I don't really shop in the mall. I don't do all the little shops and stuff, except at Christmas time.
Yeah, I'm tracking you. I have comments. I'm tracking you. All right. John, when you go to the mall, where do you park? Cordova. I mean, I'm assuming Cordova.
Okay. Cordova.
Yeah, always Best Buy.
Always Best Buy. Okay, why? Right in front of the doors, down towards the corner where the mall entrance is.
More down toward the corner, about halfway. That way I can go to Best Buy.
In front of the food market.
Food court.
No. The
World Market.
That's it.
World Market. So
right there?
Yes.
Okay. Why?
Because I want to go to Best Buy, and then I can go to the mall right after.
Are you parking there even if you're not going to Best Buy?
Ooh, that's tough.
Thank you.
That's tough.
Like if you're going to the food court, you're in the wrong end of the mall. Are you still parking where you are?
Yeah, I guess so.
So you're a one-spot parker.
Right, but away from people.
Okay. Now, so follow-up question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I know. It's coming.
When you go to church or a class or, I don't know, pick the environment that makes the most sense to you, do you tend to find a seat and then that's your seat kind of forever for you, or that region?
Region is a good way to say it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Same for you, Meg.
Yeah, I have certain places that I go and
like
I have a spot.
When you go to Walmart, do you make a decision whether you're doing the food side or the retail side, or do you just kind of have a place you always go when you go to Walmart?
Ooh, see, that's different.
Okay.
I do make a decision.
Yeah, that's just where I can
find
a spot.
If I'm going grocery shopping, that's different than going garden shopping.
Here's my theory. I always have theories, right?
Okay. Yes,
no
we
doubt.
Know. We know.
We know.
The mall decision is kind of a complicated thing because one factor could be how quickly can I get to where I need to go, in which case maybe you want to park close to that thing. If you're only going to like one place, okay, like Best Buy, Mm-hmm. I mean, if I'm going to Best Buy, I'm parking in front of Best Buy. I'm not parking anywhere else. If I'm going to Red Robin, I'm parking by Red Robin. If I'm going to, you know, Dillard's, I'm parking by Dillard's, okay? But sometimes you're going to the mall, in which case it doesn't much matter where you go. If you're going to be wandering around for a while, you know, it doesn't really matter where you park. But typically, you always try to get the best in the closest. But closest is most popular. Closest is where it's hard to find. And, you know, sometimes you find yourself thwarted by the other people. And by the time you've driven through a couple of lanes, you could have just walked it. And you don't save any time. And, of course, we're all about saving 14 seconds of time, as we learned yesterday. So my answer, and then there's the familiarity thing. Like, you park always at the Belk. You park always at the Best Buy.
Yeah, that way I know where my car is.
You don't have to remember which way do I run.
Right, exactly.
I like parking on the ends of the, whenever I go to a mall, to the stores that are like the anchor stores, Dillard's, Belk, because there's less traffic, there's less people.
You park far away and walk.
Interesting. If you park in the front where everybody's going in, it's hard to find parking. It's crowded. There's sort of a chaotic feel to it. I like being kind of where it's quiet.
Plus stressful. Other people may be pulling in and out. Mm-hmm. Kids with strollers, all that. Yeah. As a maximizer of the efficiency, as we learned yesterday, I hate to park even one space farther out than I need to.
Really?
But I know. I know rationally that if I just early adopt the position of park in a place, it doesn't have to be all that close, and then just walk. You'll actually win time-wise. It just doesn't feel like winning is the problem. All right, text in a moment, 437-1620. Where do you park when you go to the mall? John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
We are back rolling accident-free, also delay-free, so I'm not seeing anything that's going to slow you down right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
What does it look like when we're front rolling accident-free?
Well, you don't want to know.
Moving on. Hey, this is great. We've got a new advertiser on the show, Mathnasium. And my dearest friends own the Mathnasium. We've been friends for a long time. And their whole goal in life is to help your kids learn math. And so many kids struggle with math. You know, like sometimes people come to them and say, my fifth grade student used to love math and she got a bad teacher and now she feels frustrated and lacks confidence and doesn't enjoy it like she used to. Common. Okay? Or my kids are doing great in math up until the sixth grade, and all of a sudden they hit seventh grade in algebra. Oh. You know, or geometry, or trig, or whatever the case may be. Or, you know, you used to be able to help them with the math, and now you can't help them with the math. Or maybe they're teaching it a different way than you understand it. See, the goal of Mathnasium is they understand that a lot of people struggle with math, and you shouldn't have to. It is possible to really learn how to be good at math. And what they do is the first thing you do is you do an assessment. It's a very simple assessment. I mean, you come in to find out what skills, what capacities, what abilities do you have, and then what ones maybe don't you have and that they can work on. You know, because sometimes it's just like one piece of the puzzle's missing, and that's the one piece that you need to fix. Sometimes it's multiple pieces. Sometimes it's a whole bunch of things that are not at grade level. But whatever the case is, they are really, really good at helping kids learn math. And, they are just passionate about math and a very, very great place. So here's what I want you to do. If any of that stuff applies to you or to your student, go in for an assessment. That's the number one first step. Go in for an assessment and find out what you're dealing with. You can stop by. They are next to the Marshalls in the Fresh Market Shopping Center at 9th and Airport. And they do take step-up money. So if that's of interest to you and that's a relevant factor for you, they are able to take that at Mathnasium. 847 on News Radio 92.3. To the texts. I don't really give you my answer. I park all over the place at the mall. It really depends on where I'm going because I am rarely going to the mall to go to the mall. I'm usually going to a place, and so I will park based on that place.
Mm-hmm.
That's more my approach.
But you did say closer rather than further away.
Yes, as close in as possible, and I will definitely waste like 5 lines of driving in and out because what happens is I feel like I need to be within about 10 spaces,
mm-hmm.
and if I find myself frustrated, I just get angrier and angrier, and then I got to find a one that's closer. Because I'm already invested in the losing.
Because there is the train of thought to park further away so you get your steps in.
Well, I get my steps in anyway. But yes, you know, you're right. It's true. All right, 437-1620, 437-1620. Michael says, I park in the parking lot, LOL. Yeah, everybody's got jokes. Somebody says
comedian in our midst.
Yeah. Somebody says parking at the mall would require one to actually go to the mall, and I haven't gone to the mall in a long time, since the 90s. Somebody says I park as far away as possible because I have a new truck. Oh.
See,
yeah,
there you go.
Protect the vehicle. That's good. You know, be penny pound smart and penny pound foolish and dollar
what?
penny Pennywise is what's coming to my head, and that's not the clown
that's
I was thinking of.
Not the clown.
I park closest to the shop I need if it's Lens Crafters, then on that side or near World Market or wherever I need to be. Somebody says I park near the food court only because the stores I want are near it, plus I can get food after shopping. Also, it's as close to the entrance as possible. I think some people would be like, but by the food is always
dangerous.
Motivational.
Oh, it's dangerous.
Do you always go get the free samples when you pass through the food court?
No.
Well, yeah.
Obviously.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, but you go back through like three or four times, wait till the next person, you know, brings out a new thing of food.
Yeah.
Why not?
I don't know where that food has been.
You do know where it's been. It's been in the restaurant. And then they cooked it, and then they brought it out to you.
I don't know where it's been.
What, do you think they like took the tray of food and went down to the bathroom and didn't wash their hands and came back? I mean, that's not how that works.
You never know.
Somebody says, outside the food court, I probably will be hungry going in or coming out. I like that. Haven't been to the mall in years. No one deleted the house with Amazon coming to me. You know, well, that's I understand.
Well, that is true.
If I go to a restaurant to eat, it's always at the same spot. what does this say? Oh, I always sit at the same spot in the restaurant. My butt knows where to go. Funny.
That's awesome.
Let's see. The Dan says, if I have to go to the mall, I park at the, what? Nah, I don't know. Read that. Let's see. Somebody on the rare occasion, James says, on the rare occasion I even go, I park over by Belk as far away from others as possible. I don't mind walking. That's typically what you do at the mall. Anyway, yeah, it's funny if you park real close to go in and walk. Kind of missing that point. I always find a shade tree nearest the store. Oh, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
If it's hot or in the summer, you know, yeah, for sure. Somebody says, I don't go to the mall. I thought that's where the teenagers went. Yeah, but you could be young at heart again. By the entrance between Belk and Dick's Sporting Goods, convenient access to most of the stores I'm going to, food court plus easy parking. Let's see, that's a different topic entirely. Always park by the guy who likes to ding his neighbor's door. That's an unintentional choice. Yeah. But that's why you park far away by yourself.
Exactly.
You know? I'm Andrew McKay.
We're kicking off for the season at Sonny's Barbecue. Whether you're tailgating at the big game or sharing a meal with friends, it's always Sonny's. Enjoy the new fall menu with Maple Barbecue Smoked Turkey Club or Maple Barbecue Pork Burn-Ins. How about some sweet potato waffle fries or even our new pecan pie egg rolls? And don't forget the platter of slow-smoked chicken wings. Come see us at Sonny's with four locations in the News Radio area, Pace, 9th Avenue, Navy Boulevard, and Pine Forest. And remember, it's always Sonny's here.
Joann Fabrics may be closed.
They're closed?
But you'll find all you need at Darrell's Sewing of Pensacola.
Darrell's?
Yes, Darrell's is the largest sewing and embroidery machine dealer in the Pensacola area, offering lots of fabrics, sewing machine furniture, sewing and embroidery supplies, and notions. Financing is available, and there are lots of classes scheduled for this fall, so get registered now at sewinginpensacola.com.
That's Darrell's Sewing of Pensacola?
Yep, at 6705 North Davis Highway between Creighton and Burgess.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Excuse me. I believe you have my stapler.
Curbside has been, from a contamination standpoint, extremely, really better than I could have ever expected, 93% clean. Our national consultants that have helped with grant funds are pleasantly surprised. And so really that's a testament to our citizens that are doing it. They're listening, they're reading the sticker, they're doing good things. So to go this long and that many tons of 93% clean. We're really proud of.
That really is an amazing number. You remember the problem behind why recycling was paused was contamination. It was people putting trash in the recycling. And the contamination rates, as I remember, were running like 40%, which is outrageous. And you cannot they just take it to the landfill. And then we pay more for that. And so that's why they did away with it in the first place. And a big push for the new recycling campaign in the city was education. And also the reason you're paying for it, I know this gets explained, but maybe you don't always hear it. You say, why do I have to pay to recycle to do a good thing, especially if it saves the city money to do it? Because if you don't pay, then you do it badly. I mean, honestly, part of the reason you have to pay is because when people pay, they'll do it right. And the people who aren't willing to do it right won't be willing to pay to do it wrong. Because, by the way, you can buy just a second trash can for the same fee, right? So part of the reason this works is because there's a cost to it. I mean, you know, may hate that that's the reality to it, but, I mean, that's why it's working in part, and also education. So 7% contamination is fantastic. That's a really, really low number. 437-1620. The new parking stuff is happening right now, or has happened. You know, the new parking fees and permits. The one for people who are over 65 is already in place.
Lastly, for our city residents, and certainly I would appreciate all of you being able to spread the word that the city resident permits are available. The senior permits over 65, where they won't need an app or anything. You just pay $10 a month. Park anywhere you want, in city spaces when you want, without even having to get your phone out. And then, of course, any city resident can apply to get 50% off 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They just have to give that proof of residency. So parkpensacola.com has all that information, and certainly if you guys can help spread the word on that. We're starting to see, obviously, since October 1st, lots of those permits come in. So
yeah, and again, if you're unfamiliar, what this means is if you're 65 and up, you pay $10 a month, and it's just it's your license plate. It's not even using the app. You don't ever have to touch your phone, which I know for a lot of folks that are older, that's been one of the bugaboos of this program, is people didn't want the technology. And if you're under 65 and you want to, you know, get 50% off for being a resident, you know, that's no problem. But that's through the app. That's the regular process. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still reporting no accidents, nothing on the big board, not even delays right now. You're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
One of the other things that the mayor announced the other day was, this is during the city council meeting, was that the Main Street, Joe Patty's, is back open. I don't drive that way a lot, so this was news to me. I thought I'd share with you. You've been avoiding that way.
If you did not drive from the west side of town, Main Street is back open. So that's been closed for about 6 weeks in front of Joe Patty's, putting in, again, transformational stormwater infrastructure that will have a positive impact on almost 1,800 homes. And when you think about our city has 21,000 residential homes, you're talking about a pretty significant portion that will now have better stormwater outcome because of that project. So certainly appreciate everybody's patience with that.
Yeah, no, that's a pretty big deal. And he's right. I mean, 1,800 homes affected out of 21,000, you know, that's a lot. That's what about, quick math, what is that, about 8% of all the homes in the city affected by one stormwater project? That's pretty impressive. 856 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about buying a home, selling a home, upsizing, downsizing, moving to the beach, moving to the city, moving to the country, I don't know. You need a lot of peaches. I don't know. Christina Leavenworth. What, John? You know the song?
Peaches?
You're going to move into the country. You're going to eat a lot of peaches.
Okay.
They were put there by a man in a factory downtown. Okay. All right. Well, apparently I'm the only one who was alive during the 90s. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinky Realty. She will take care of you. Buying or selling, you know, 3.5-4 homes a week, always buying and selling homes. How to stage it, how to photograph it, how to list it, the price to list it at, when to schedule the open house, how to do follow-ups, just all the stuff that really everybody kind of knows they're supposed to do. They just know how to do it right, and they are willing to do it. A lot of times it's people they know and they don't really do it. Plus, whatever needs to be done to get you all the way through to closing, even if it means, gosh, spackling and painting over holes, nail holes the night before closing. I mean, she's done it. Working with people on Facebook to bring them here from Japan for a change of station, she's done it. All of that stuff, she knows how to get it done. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinky Realty, 786-3996. What was the other thing I was going to mention to you? Now it's gone straight out of my head, and I will not be able to get it back. So, okay, you know, that sometimes that happens too. Actually, I thought this was kind of interesting. You remember how Pete Hegseth and the Department of then Defense, now War, has announced that anybody covering the military has to agree not to publish anything until you get prior approval through official chains of command, even for non-sensitive information. The idea was that, you know, if you're going to cover the Pentagon, if you're going to have press credentials with the Pentagon, you've basically got to ask for their permission to publish it, which I thought at the time and still think is the most absurd thing I have ever heard of. We're not talking about publishing military plans. We're just talking about doing regular old journalism, you know, using sources, oftentimes publishing things. I mean, shoot, the Pentagon Papers, that was a Supreme Court case, and that was allowed. So the fact that the Department of War now wants to basically stifle basic journalism is very concerning. You should want journalists to cover the Department of War. You should want honest reporting about the military. There's lots of great outlets who do this reporting. What I was encouraged to see, and I did not know how this would shake out, because having press credentials and access is a pretty important part of that job. And now you've got lots of, you know, news organizations saying, oh, hell no. We are not agreeing to that. The Washington Post, the proposed restrictions undercut First Amendment protections by placing unnecessary constraints on gathering and publishing information, will continue to vigorously and fairly report on the policies and positions of the Pentagon officials across the government. Newsmax has no plans to sign the letter. We believe the requirements are unnecessary and onerous. That means burdensome. And hope that the Pentagon will review the matter further. CNN, we're not going to be deflected from our duty to hold all three fairly and fully to account, the branches of the government. Washington Times, no, our reporters will not be signing. Washington Examiner, both conservative papers, say no, no, no. New York Times, no, absolutely not. Fox did not make a comment. One America News is the only one who says that they will follow it because they have checked with their attorney. Man, good for all the rest of you for standing up and saying no to this outrageous demand. Streaming.